This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Welcome, church. I think you've been welcomed already. So I'm just going to jump into this because it's kind of dense. I was busy prepping for this and I was like, Lord, this is a lot of stuff. This is a lot of stuff, but it's actually quite simple when you go through it. But you have to go through it in order to see the simplicity of it. I was going through the conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus last week, and Jesus said this one thing to Nicodemus. I didn't actually even preach on it, but he said, Nicodemus, if you can't even believe the things of the earth that I tell you, of which you bear witness, how can I tell you about heavenly things? So for me, that tells me that we need to take a look into these earthly things. Because if we understand these earthly things, we can start to grasp a little bit more of how the kingdom works. We need to understand how the kingdom works in order to be an influence on this world from the kingdom. We can't influence this world if we don't know the kingdom, if we don't see the kingdom, if we're not part of the kingdom. So last week, it's the same topic, a journey of sanctification. But this week, I'm going to take us through body, spirit, and soul. Now, there's some really in-depth stuff that will happen, I think, at Encounter 4. Baleen will run through some of that. But I'm going to take us through this because it seems to be a little bit of a controversial topic, somewhat, even in Christian circles. And if we are Christian, we believe in the Bible. So if we believe in the Bible, we take what the Bible says and we apply it in life. We can't read the word and then go, oh no, but that doesn't make sense to me, so it can't be. No, read it until it makes sense to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to your heart. Because if we are born again, we have the heart of Christ. We have been given, like last week, when I said when we are born again, we are born of water and of spirit. And then in Ezekiel it said, you are given a new heart. The heart of stone has been taken out. You are given a new heart, and his spirit he puts inside of us. So now we've got that heart to work with. Okay, so sanctification, how does it work? If you think of this, right? If God comes and puts his spirit inside of me and gives me a new heart, what is sanctification? What is this process of being made holy? Because surely if I've been given the Spirit of God, I've got the Spirit of God in me, I've been given a new heart, I should be pretty holy, shouldn't I? I should be pretty much like there, you know? I'm on the level with God. He's given me his heart. He's given me his spirit. So what is this sanctification? And I've wrestled with this. I've sat with this before. I'm like, why do I have to be made holy if I've already been made new? I'm new. I'm a new creation. Okay, so I'm going to be going through quite a few scriptures today, so I'm going to try go through relatively quickly. You're welcome to come and talk to me afterwards and during the week, or message me, and we're happy to chat. So we can move on to the first slide there. The first slide is from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, and it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are given what needs to be made holy. So if we listened last week, when we are born again, it's something that happens in the spirit, but it's also a new heart that is given. Okay, and the Bible, when it refers to the heart, it also refers to our will. And we'll see a little bit later how the will links into all of this through the soul. Okay, so we are to be sanctified completely, body, spirit, and soul. But what does it say here? It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. So just as being born again, it isn't up to us, it's up to God. We have to release it to God. We have to release it to the Holy Spirit. Because when we release it to God, He is going to do it for us. But it takes obedience. It takes sacrifice. It takes putting down your life. Being raised up with Him again. So, the controversial part of this was, I was speaking to a few people, and some people seem to believe that we are what you would get in psychology called the dichotomy. You can bring up the next slide. Now, dichotomy in the psychological world refers to your body, and then it refers to your spirit and soul as one. There isn't a differentiation between those two things. So that's the dichotomy. Us as Christians, however, through Thessalonians, like I have just read, we believe in the trichotomy. So the trichotomy means that we have body, spirit, and soul. Okay, Thessalonians said there, may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. Okay, so we are body, spirit, and soul. As a Christian, that is what we believe, and there's many more scriptures that speak to us about this. And I've spoken to people within the Christian family who can't define or differentiate between spirit and soul, which is understandable. It's a very difficult thing to sort of define. But we love the Word, and because God gifted us the Word, we can go into the Word and learn what these separate things actually entail. What do they mean? How do they apply in the process of sanctification? Because we have to understand the body, the spirit, and the soul in order to understand the process of sanctification. One of the clearest pieces of scripture we can find that tells us that we are supposed to define between the body, spirit, and soul is in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12. And it was so cool when it got prayed this morning in intercession. There was a few scriptures from today that got prayed in intercession. And it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What did I say about heart earlier? I said it also refers to the will. So it discerns the thoughts and intentions of our will. What are you willing in your life? What are you allowing through your will? So we clearly see here that it states that there is a division of soul and spirit. But he likes it onto joint and of marrow. So it's very close. It's very tight. And it has to pierce through that. And it's only the Word of God that can do that, right? So that's what we're doing today. We're using the Word of God to pierce through the spirit and soul so that we can understand this a little bit better. So the word division means the action of separating something into parts or the process of being separated. So that's what I'm hoping to do for us today here, is to separate the spirit and the soul for us to actually understand it. But I also want you to understand that the body, spirit, and soul are also one. Sort of like God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. It's also one. But it's intricately woven together. Which slide are we on that one? Okay, so we can go to see the original design of which God made us. I think that's probably the best place for us to actually start with this. How did God make us? What does the Bible say? What does the Word say about how God made us? Okay, so we've got in Genesis 2, verse 7. It says, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Okay, so what we have here is God created this body. Here's this body created of dust. So we've got a body. And then what does it say? Does it say God created a soul? No. So this is where it becomes quite interesting. So it says that God breathed his breath of life into him. Breath is also ruach. Ruach means spirit. So God breathed his spirit into Adam. And what happened? What happened as a result of God breathing his spirit into this body? He became a living soul. So the soul becomes present once that spirit comes into contact with this body. Why? Because we need a bridge from the material into the immaterial world, into the spiritual world. The soul becomes this bridge between the physical and the spiritual. It becomes our control center. It's what we use to control our everyday thoughts, our functions, our emotions. Yeah, what we allow in. Okay, so I'm going to break these things up for us a little bit, just so that we've got a clear indication of what we're talking about. Okay, the body, I'm sure everybody can answer what the body is, right? Okay, so I've got it up there probably, it should be there, yeah? Okay, the body is our physical vessel. It's that thing which expresses, it physically expresses our emotions, our feelings. So there's a physical show of me feeling sad. I start to cry or I feel down. There's a physical show of my emotions. I start to feel joyful. I'm excited. My body shows excitement. It's an expression of that. It's an expression of our mind, our intellect. What do we know? I can tell you, I know how to create a computer chip that can transport me from here to the old church like that. Where does that come from? That comes from intellect. It comes from my mind. But my body can show you those things. It's an expression of that. It's an expression of our will, what we will in our life, what we allow, what we choose to allow into our life. Spirit and soul, not so easy. We have to go into scripture. The body is easy because we see it. It's a physical thing, we can see it. Okay, so we're going to move on to the spirit. And what is the human spirit? So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11. It says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God." The spirit is your identity. It knows you. It knows who you are. The Spirit of God is his identity. We identify with God when we are born again. How? Through his Spirit. Spirit is a form of our identity. Is everyone with me? Okay. There's also another part to the Spirit. So it's our identity. But then when we go to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, it says, "And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." Our spirit is also our life force. It's that thing that gives us life. Think of God. He breathed his spirit into Adam, and he became a living soul. It is our source of life. It is the source of everything within us. So spirit is your identity, and spirit is the source of life. And it says that the source of life, the spirit returns to God who gave it, and the body goes down to the dust. Interestingly, it doesn't say anything about soul there. Okay, are you with me? What is spirit? Identity and life force. Okay, now we're going to move on to soul. Soul gets a little bit tricky. Soul gets a little bit tricky here. Okay, Because soul is broken up into three different parts. Your soul has got the mind, which is your intellect, right? It's got your will. It's got your emotions. This is part of your soul. Remember I said it's your control center. It's that which controls things, allows things in. My intellect tells my will, I think that's quite good what I heard, let's let it in. My emotions go, oh yes, well, that's beautiful, I really feel this is true, let's let it into our spirit. So through the physical, we hear, it goes into our intellect deciphers, it shares with our will, and then it lets it into our spirit. Okay, so this is how we, before born again, get our identity, right? We get our identity from the world because we hear, we see, we think it through, we allow it into our spirit from the world. So it comes from the world through our body, through our soul, into our spirit. And it starts to create and form an identity within us from the world. Okay, let's get on to what will actually is. Okay, am I going too fast for everyone, or is everyone with me? Okay, there's quite a lot, so I'm going through it quickly. Okay, so the will is a deciding is a function of the will. So you deciding to do something is something in your will. When you decide, yes, I'm going to steal that candy, that's a function of the will, and the will is a part of your heart. So if you want to steal a piece of candy, there might be something wrong with your heart. And you need to check that. I don't want to steal any candy, no more. You know. Okay, so how do we say that will, mind, and emotions is part of the soul? We go to scripture. I want to go into Job in 7 verse 15. It says, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my body. So if will is a function that we decide with, and your soul chooses, your soul is basically making a decision. So from this scripture, it's showing us that the soul is part will. Part of the soul is will. In Job 6 verse 7, it says, my soul refuses to touch them. They are as loathsome food to me. It refuses as well. So your soul refuses. So your soul is also part of your will. It makes decisions. Okay, it's part of the soul. Okay, what is mind? Okay, mind is intellect, and knowledge is a function of the mind. Okay? Are you guys with me? Are you with me? Okay, so intellect and knowledge is a function of the mind. It's something we think. It's something we're able to grasp the knowledge. It comes into our mind. Proverbs 2 verse 10 says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Your soul finds knowledge pleasant. Therefore, your soul is also part mind. So your soul is so far made up of will, and it is so far made up of mind, intellect. Here's another one. Psalm 139 verse 14. It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Knowing is a function of the mind. So this also refers to the mind as being part of the soul, because the soul knows. Okay, so far we've got mind, and we've got will. It's part of the soul. Now we're moving on to emotions. Okay, emotions is the third part. Okay, so emotions are expressions of feeling, of love, anger, hatred, joyfulness, grief, that type of thing. So again, through scripture, it says, as a deer pants, in Psalm 42 verse 1, as a deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul is longing for God. My soul is longing. It's an expression of love. Okay, and if my soul is doing that, then my soul has emotion. In 2 Samuel 5 verse 8, in Psalm 107 verse 18, in Ezekiel 36 verse 5, it shows that hating, loathing, and despising are also in the soul. These are all emotions. And it all points us in the direction that emotion is part of our soul. Okay, you can jump on to the next slide then. Okay, so the body, my body, is a physical expression of mind, emotion, and will. Therefore, my body is an expression of my soul. My body is an expression of my soul and what is inside. And my soul, my mind, emotion, and will is an expression of our character and personality, the expression of our identity, the expression of our spirit. So it's an expression of our spirit. So the soul is an expression of our spirit. So you see how these things are so interlinked and interwoven, yet they are separate with separate functions. So when we're in the world, I want us to look at this one over here, because this is where we start to maybe grasp what sanctification looks like. So when we're in the world, okay, when we don't know Christ, we go from the top to the bottom, right? So we go body, okay, cool. I hear things, I see things, I take it into my soul, goes into my mind, my intellect, my emotions, goes into my heart allows it through into my spirit. I start getting an identity through the world. Okay? So my identity comes from the world into my spirit. My spirit takes on the identity of, I am a famous soccer player, I mine in crypto, I'm a crypto champion, you know, that type of stuff. So your identity is solely a function of the world. Your identity becomes a function of the world. What happens when we get born again? That's when this whole process reverses. We no longer go from top to bottom, but we end up going from bottom to top. So we go from the spiritual identity that we have in Christ. Who are you? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of Jesus. My identity is firmly set in Christ. From spirit moves up to soul, goes through my heart, through my will, goes through my intellect. It starts to influence the way I am. So you see, the process of sanctification happens in the soul. You've got repentance that happens in the soul. It goes into the spirit. You are born again. It reverses. It comes back into the soul. And sanctification starts to happen. Your whole spirit lights up when you are born again. And it starts to burst through into your soul. You see, your soul still remains with memories of the past. When we're born again, God gives us a new spirit and a new heart. Didn't say that He gives us a new soul. We still have the intellect we had. We still had the memories we have. So those things need to slowly but surely be healed. They need to be removed. And that's the process where the light comes from the spirit into the soul. And it is a natural happening. It's not us trying to make it happen. I think, what did Henny refer to it as? I've lost it. Behavior modification. That's what Henny refers to it as. It's not modifying your behavior to be something else. It's naturally being who you are through Christ, through the spirit, into your soul. And then what happens? Think of this. You are a smoker, right? You smoke cigarettes. Okay? You become born again. From the spirit flows into your soul, into your mind. You start to think, cigarettes aren't a good thing. I'm going to get rid of cigarettes. What's the natural outflow of that decision? What starts to happen to your body? Your body starts to heal, and that light starts moving from spirit into soul into body because of the decisions you start to make, because you are aligned with the kingdom. The kingdom comes in through the spirit. We are now moving from a place of the kingdom, spirit, into mind, emotions, intellect, through the body into where? Where do we go from the body? We go into the world. So you see, it's a complete turnaround that Jesus does. We no longer live from the world inward. We live from his kingdom inward. And when we live inward from his kingdom, there's an outflow, an outpouring into our souls, into our bodies, and then it spreads into the world. Romans 12 says, what does it say about the mind? It says, do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. Okay? So do not go from the world. Be transformed by the mind. How does the mind get transformed? Through the spirit. But he says, do it daily. Because we still have the experiences we had. We still have the memories we had. We still have the emotional capacity that we had. There's still things within us that we have to journey through. And that is where the process of sanctification happens. It's a healing process. It's a moving from the spirit into the soul dimension, and then allowing it to flow out into the world. We run a mercy ministry. Can we get the small group to start getting the communion stuff? So we run a mercy ministry. We do inner healing and we do deliverance. And for us, it's vital to be able to differentiate between these different parts of the body. Because if we don't differentiate between these different parts of the body, you won't know what part is sick. Is it just the physical? Is there something in the soul? Or is there a spiritual stronghold? You have to be able to differentiate between these things to be a healthy person and to be somebody who can work for the kingdom of God. So my spirit is the who. The spirit is my identity. My body is how I look, my physical looking. My soul is how I am. What do I do?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.